Hey, Jacob Squell, it's great that you are here this weekend at church, and this weekend you are in for a treat, because this weekend's message comes from one of our emerging leaders, and what really makes this exciting is that this is a leader who actually grew up in our church, who is now on our church staff, and every weekend pours his heart, his soul, his passion into the children of Jacob Squell, and he does it with incredible joy and incredible insight. Now, I want to let you know that I heard the message that Isaac is going to be bringing this weekend, and it really is one of the best messages I have heard from a young first-time speaker. This message is particularly important because not only is it powerful, is it biblical, but it also is profound in the message that comes from Isaac's heart. So you are in for a very real treat as we consider the wisdom of our words and what we learn from the things we say as we continue our journey of living wisdom.
Well, hey guys, how's it going? Man, it is super. I'm super excited to spend this time with you. And I'm super excited. Just like Paul said, normally I'm down in the elementary side of JW Kids, and let me tell you, it is absolutely amazing. And it is so much fun for me to hang out with your kids and just to see them grow in Christ. If you're curious who I am, my name is Isaac Addy, and also, just like Paul said, I actually grew up in this church, and I started here in the early days of Jacob Swell, and I went through JW Kids, and actually, I think I've got a picture for you of when I was, yeah, so I had blonde hair, and I had big ears, and a lot less facial hair, but it has been so much fun, and I absolutely love it. And parents, and I just wanted to brag about your kids just for a quick second. Your kids are amazing. Each and every one of your kids are so special and so unique, and it has been so cool just getting to know them throughout this last year. But now I'm excited to be here. It's because I get to hang out with you guys, and it's awesome. But I'm super excited. So we're in this series of living wisdom, and we are in the third week of doing that. And if this is your first week here, I'll do a quick recap for you of what the series has been about. So 2 weeks ago, we had Taylor introduce this series for us, and he gave us a really good overview of what the book of James is all about, and just I'm talking about whom the author was, who he was writing to, but also making a distinction between two different kinds of wisdom, between earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. And then last week, Grant started digging a little bit deeper, and he started talking about how God's word serves as a mirror that we can use as a reflection. Which, if you guys have a chance to watch those, I really encourage you to do that. It's because they are amazing. But this week we are going to be digging a little bit deeper into the book of James, and we're going to be looking at some of the evidence of living wisdom in our life. But before we get started, how about if we just open this day in prayer and let's just give God this time. So how about if you invite me in prayer? Jesus, we thank you so much for this time, and we just thank you so much that we just have another opportunity to just be together and to just hang out, but more importantly to spend this time with you. Jesus, we just pray that as we start digging deeper into the book of James, that you would open each and every one of our hearts to hear what it is you want us to hear. Father, we just thank you so much for this time, and in your awesome, amazing name, we pray. Amen. So to get started, I've got a little question for you, all right? How many people in here would consider yourself to be Chatty Cathys? Do we have any Chatty Cathys in here? Maybe. All right. Yeah. Okay, sweet. And now, how many people would say that maybe your spouse is a Chatty Cathy? Maybe. maybe. Okay. which is totally cool. It's cause for me, I'm a huge chatty Cathy also. Which growing up, I never thought that I would be someone who would talk a lot. It's cause growing up, I grew up with two parents who just loved to talk. I mean, they could just talk your ear off. And I just remember going to family functions, going to parties, and it would always go like this. So maybe we were like 2 or 3 hours in, and Dad and I would be like, "Okay, I think it's time that we should get going." And so we tell my mom, "Hey, we should probably get going." And then she would say this, "Okay, give me like 5 more minutes." It was never 5 minutes. It was never 5 minutes. It's cause Dad and I wouldn't go out into the car, and that 5 minutes would turn to 10 minutes. And then it would turn to a half an hour, and then it would turn into an hour, and I remember it just drove me insane. I was like, "Come on, Mom, how long can you possibly talk?" But the ironic thing is now I'm the person who's like, "Here, give me five more minutes." and I think the longest conversation I've ever had with someone was 7 hours straight. Yeah. I remember just going to Racy's and I was there for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It was great. And I'm sure they were getting driven nuts by me. It's because I'm sure they were thinking, "Man, what is this guy gonna get out of here, man?" But the point is I love to talk, and more specifically, I love just to connect with people and just getting to learn people's stories. But also I love studying the field of communication. And more specifically, how people individually communicate. It's because here's what's so cool: God created each and every one of you so uniquely that all of you communicate in slightly different ways. And here's something else that is cool with communication: is we are constantly doing it. We are constantly connecting with each other and communicating with each other, whether it's through our verbal communication, so with our words, whether it is with our nonverbal communication, so with our body language, with our facial expressions, or whether it be through a certain medium, so like, say, calling, texting, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, the list goes on and on and on. But the point is we are always connected to each other. And I truly believe that God created us to be in community with each other, and that is an amazing thing. But the reason why communication is something that I'm really passionate about, and I'm something that is really important to me is in case you haven't noticed, I've got a tendency to trip over my words, throughout most of my life I've grown up with a speech impediment or a stutter. And it's not something that I was born with. It is something that I acquired a little later on, and unfortunately, it came as a result of trauma, which we will get to in a little bit later. But because I've had to live with that for so long, I'm extremely passionate of how people connect with each other and how people communicate with each other effectively. But what we're going to focus on today is the one type of communication which is really fascinating is the communication of language. And language is an amazing gift and tool that God has given us, and we can use it for so many things. So say for example, we can use it to convey ideas. We can use it to describe what we are feeling internally with our emotions. Or one of my favorites is we can use it to tell stories and paint vivid pictures in people's minds for what was going on in that situation. It is truly an amazing gift. But here's something else about communication that is extremely important. Being that that communication can be utilized for multiple different kinds of things, language is this, is that language is powerful. Let that sink in just for a moment. That language is powerful. See, language, and I'm certain many of us have heard phrases of like, just be careful what you say, the power of our words, and the list goes on and on, right? But it is so true. It's because our language has so much potency and it has so much power behind it. It's because not only do we use it to describe things, but also we can use it to influence others. Okay, so here's a couple of examples for you. So we can use language to change someone's mood. So say you're having kind of an off day, and maybe someone walks up to you, and they can say just a few words like, "Hey, how's it going? Hope you're having an awesome day," and it kind of uplifts your mood, right? Or you can literally use it to persuade people to completely change their thought process to do something that they may not have originally wanted to do. Or you can use it to change the general atmosphere of a space. So say, for example, you came in, you walked into Jacob's Well, and maybe you talked to a few people, you got your coffee, amen for coffee, right? Amen. and you were just interacting with people, and you came in here, and there's a general tone to Jacob's Well, right? And it's a pretty laid-back atmosphere. But at any moment, any one of you could stand up and go, "Woo! This is awesome! I'm so excited to be here! Are you ready? I'm ready! Yeah!" And I just see some of you guys' eyes, and you're like, "Woo!" Just making sure that you're awake, okay? But each and every one of you have that ability, that our language has so much power behind it, and it's something that God has given each and every one of us. So in the book of James, James spends an entire chapter talking about not just the gift that language is, but also the potential danger that language has if it's misused. So we're going to James 3, and we're starting on verse 2. So let's see what James has to say. "So for we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their entire bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, and wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also is the tongue. It is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. So how great is a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness, and the tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell." So here's what's so interesting with that passage is what James is doing is he's using three metaphors to describe what our language is. So he uses the metaphor of a horse, a ship, and a fire. And in James's time, many of the people would have understood these metaphors. It's because these three things had an incredible amount of influence, just like our tongue does. It's because also what James is saying here is our interactions don't just affect the person that we're directly communicating with, but how you communicate with that person will also affect how they communicate the next person, and the next and the next and and the next, until finally your one interaction with someone has the potential to influence a whole group of people. So language is powerful. So language has the ability to encourage, but also discourage. To uplift, to tear down. And here's something else with our language. Our language has a tendency to be sticky, right? See, have you ever had times where maybe you remembered something that was maybe like a couple days ago or months ago or years ago? Does anyone feel me there? Yeah? All right, sweet. But it's kind of funny how we remember those things, right? But we don't just remember the good things, but unfortunately, don't we have a tendency to remember the things that just hurt? Like just those words that even though you may know that they're not true, that they even though if you remember them now, they still punch you in the gut. See, that is how powerful our language is, and it's something we should think about carefully. So I had mentioned earlier that throughout most of my life, I grew up with a speech impediment, and unfortunately, I acquired it through trauma, and I learned very early on how powerful language is, but more specifically, how hurtful and how damaging language can be. So, if it's okay with you guys, I would like to share with you just a little bit into my story. So my story starts in second grade, and going into second grade, I was super excited. It's because I love school and I really enjoy learning. But I had heard from the grade ahead of me that my teacher wasn't all that great, and I just heard things that were pretty awful things, and I thought to myself, wait a minute, these things can't be true. I mean, I don't even know who this person is. I mean, how bad could it possibly be, right? Well, I learned really quickly that a majority of what I had heard was true. So it's because what ended up happening is whenever the class would act up or whenever the class would get a little bit rowdy, as second graders do, my teacher would get incredibly frustrated. She would get so angry and she would just lash out at the entire class. But as the weeks and months carried on, she started to hone it in on me. And over time, it eventually turned into emotional abuse, to specifically verbal abuse. But at its worst, it turned into physical abuse. And I remember just one instant where she just got so angry where she just grabbed me by the arm and yanked me out into the hallway, and she just started shaking me and screaming at me and saying things that you should never say to anyone, much less a second grader. And she was just shaking me and just hitting me and saying how I was just worthless and how I was just nothing. And this carried on for months. And I just remember walking home almost every single day just crying and just bawling my eyes out. It's because I was genuinely afraid about what was going to happen the next day. So this carried on for, like I said, about a couple of months. But then my parents started to notice that something wasn't quite right. And eventually they figured out what was going on, and so they went into the principal's office the following day, and they kind of expressed that something wasn't quite right, and like they suspected that maybe there was some abuse going on. And at first the principal didn't believe her, and they didn't believe my parents. So my dad, who normally is a pretty upbeat guy, got very stern and got extremely angry, and he told the principal that they knew something was wrong. It's because not only were they asking other parents if this was going on, but they had overheard me praying. And they had overheard me praying multiple times that my teacher would love kids the same way that she would love adults. So not long after that, the physical abuse stopped, but that verbal abuse continued throughout that entire year. And the summer following second grade, it was probably about mid July. We had received news that that my teacher ended up committing suicide. And the year following that, that is when my stutter started. And to be honest, I couldn't remember everything. It's because I pressed everything down. But when my stutter started, I was like, what is this thing? And like, what can I do with it? So I was just like, okay, like, it's probably not that bad. Maybe if I talk slower or maybe if I don't talk nearly as much, maybe that will help. But it didn't really help. and I got so frustrated. It's because I learned so quickly that I couldn't control the very words that were coming out of my mouth. So I'm gonna put a brief pause on my story just for a moment. And I've got a quick question for you. How many times have you had moments where maybe you said something that you hadn't? Or maybe something sounded really good in your head, and as soon as you say it, you're like, oh wait, I'm sorry, that I totally didn't mean that. Shoot. Has anyone had that happen? Oh yeah. It happens all the time, right? And it is so incredibly frustrating. It's because no matter what we do, no matter how much we try to control what comes out of our mouth, the more we try to control it, the more it just comes out a tangled mess. And it is so incredibly frustrating. But James actually takes some time, not just to describe how powerful our language is, but also this, that our language is untamable, that it is literally untamable. And this is what James has to say. So we're starting back up on verse 7. So for every kind of beast, bird, reptile, and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue, for it is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. And from the same mouth come blessing and cursing. And brothers, these things ought not be so. Does a spring bring forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Or can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither a salt pond yields fresh water. You see, what James is saying here is we are incredibly inconsistent with our language. And the crazy thing is we have been able to tame virtually every single animal that is underneath the sun, which is quite an accomplishment. But we can't tame just this little thing that is called our tongue. No matter how much we try, no matter how much we try to fix it, we just can't control it. And it is so incredibly frustrating. So going back into my story, that was something that I learned really quickly, that it was so incredibly frustrating, and I just got so angry, and I was just like, why can't I control my words? Because no matter how much I try, I can't connect with people, and I felt socially isolated. Until finally, my parents decided to put me into speech therapy. And in the beginning sessions of speech therapy, it didn't really help all that much. It is because my speech therapist only focused on maybe just coping, just some coping skills, triggers, just surface level things like that. But here's what's so important: that at first she was only looking at the symptoms and not getting to the heart of the issue, where she was only looking at the symptoms and not digging to the heart of the issue. You see, so we may be asking ourselves, why is it that we can't tame our tongue? Why is it that it is untamable? Well, the answer is simple. It's because it comes from a different source. And specifically, where our language comes is it comes from our heart. All right, not only does it come from our heart, but more specifically, this is what language does. And if you are a note taker, I highly encourage you to write this down, because this is so incredibly important. That our language reflects the condition of our heart. And I'll say that one more time, that our language reflects the condition of our heart. You see, oftentimes, whenever we communicate with people, we will oftentimes self-disclose information about ourselves, whether we realize it or not. And even as we've been having a dialogue right now, and as I've been speaking, the more I've been talking, the more you guys have been learning just about me and about my story. And some of the stuff that I'm saying, I'm not intentionally saying. It is because we just habitually will just self-disclose information about ourselves. And another example I can think of is in JW Kids. So whenever the kids come on in, we are always just giving them high fives and just doing handshakes and saying, "Hey man, how's it going? Hopefully you're having an awesome morning." And most of the time, kids are having an awesome morning. But every so often, there will be a kid that walks in like this, where their head is down, and you can just tell something is off, and I'll go up to them and I'm like, "Hey man, how's it going?" And they're like, "Good." And I'm like, okay. And it's just like, "So like, did you have a good week? Like, what is going on?" And they're like, "Oh, it was okay." And the first thing that pops into my mind is, wait a minute, something is off. Something isn't quite sitting right, just based on their body language and based on what they're saying. And what I start asking is, why is it that they're responding the way they are responding? Or parents, maybe you can relate with this also. So say one of your kids are acting up. Maybe they are fighting back. Maybe they're arguing with their siblings. And you don't just look at what they're saying, right? And you don't just look at their behavior, but you may ask that question, wait a minute, why is it that they're saying the things the way they are? And why are they behaving the way that they are? You see, when we ask that question of why, we aren't just looking at the symptoms, but we're starting a process of digging deeper and getting to the heart of the issue, right? So going back into my story again, that is exactly what my speech therapist did. What she started to notice is looking at the coping mechanisms and looking at triggers didn't really help, and it really didn't do much good. So she started asking that why question. And she started asking me questions as to where my speech impediment started, where my stutter started. And the more she started to dig, the more we started to rewind back to where everything started, I had started to realize that I had been holding for a long time bitterness and contempt. You see, when my teacher committed suicide, when I had heard the news, I couldn't help but feel relieved. But not only did I feel relieved, but I felt that she deserved it. And I was just thinking to myself, you know what? I don't even care anymore. She deserves it. Everything that everything that she had done to me, everything that she had said to me, she had it coming. She deserves every ounce of what she had done. And I kept that thought process in my head for a very long time. And the more I dwelled on it, the more I focused on it, the more bitter I became, and the more filled with contempt I became. And I just started pressing it farther and farther down. And those things just started to grow and they started to fester until finally it started to affect all of the people that I would interact with. But also while we were digging, I started getting curious into why my teacher ended up committing suicide. And the more I am started digging, the more I had started to realize that she was in a very broken place. That she had a lot of things going on in her life that were just hard, was just extremely hard stuff. But I had to take a step back and I was like, wait a minute. I am just as broken as she was. I am just as broken. I am just as sick as she was. And when I came to that realization, I started to realize that I needed to give this up, that I just needed to let this go, and I needed to let God in and to start performing heart surgery. It's because my heart was incredibly sick. And so I started this process of just getting closure from this. But the first step, which was the hardest step, was going to her gravesite. And let me tell you, it was one of the hardest things that I've ever had to do. It's because and I ended up going to her gravesite and I didn't really tell too many people that I was going to do this and as soon as I got to the gravesite and as soon as I saw her name, I just started crying. And I just started breaking down, just bawling my eyes out. And I just started saying everything that I had buried down so long inside of my heart. And I just spilled and everything just came all at once. And I was just sobbing and just saying everything that I could think of. And to be honest, I can't even remember everything that I said. But when I was finally able to settle down, when I was finally able to just gather myself together, the one thing that I remember saying was this: that in spite of all of this, in spite of everything that you've said to me, in spite of everything that you've done to me, I forgive you. I forgive you. And the weeks following that and the months and even years following that, I just started to begin a process of not just accepting everything that had happened, but also being okay with it. And also forgiving my teacher for everything that she had said, even knowing that I would never get an apology in return. And the cool part with this is the more I started journeying with God on this, the more I started to let that bitterness and all that contempt go, my language started to improve. And my stutter started to get better. And my fluency improved by leaps and bounds, and my language went from being something that was bitter and just filled with contempt and being sarcastic to something that was life-giving, to something that was encouraging, and something that was filled with that living wisdom that we've been talking about throughout this entire series. So our language reflects the condition of our heart. And the reason why I tell you this story is because where it started is I had to start looking at my language. And I had to start noticing that in my language there was this brokenness. There were just some themes of just bitterness and contempt. And then I had to start asking that question of why, God, and where is this coming from? Why is it that I communicate the way that I do? But the thing that is so cool is when I started leaning to God even more, that not only did it improve how I communicated, but I started to think about how I communicated with others. And I started thinking less about what I wanted out of a conversation into thinking, okay, God, what is it that you want out of this conversation? How is it that you want this conversation to be led? And let me tell you, it was life-changing for me. And it's still a work in progress. Like I still trip up over my words. And I've still got a stutter that I'll probably have for the rest of my life. But the cool part is now that I realize that I need to lean into God more and I need to rely on Him to lead every interaction that I have. So at this point, you may be wondering, okay, Isaac, so we know that our language is powerful, and I know that I can't tame my words, and I know that language reflects the condition of my heart. But what do I do with that? What is it what can I do for next steps? Well, I just have a couple of things for you, and it is super simple. One, as you guys are going about your week, as you're going about work, as you're talking with your families or whatever interactions you have, start paying attention and start spending just a little bit of time at and looking at the language that comes out of your mouth. And start looking for certain themes that are in your language. So maybe for some of you, maybe you're thinking to yourself, okay, maybe I've got a tendency to be angry. Maybe I've got a tendency to gossip. Or maybe I just have a tendency to be bitter about things or just be negative about things. Or maybe for some of you, you can think of something specifically right now. And if that is you, there is a group down in the Fireside Room, our prayer team, who would love to pray with you and would love to hear what is going on. And something else that I have for you is first to spend some time reflecting on what you say, but also when you're interacting with people, I want you guys just to ask this question. Instead of what I would say, what would you say? Instead of what I would say, what would you say? And what I mean by that is instead of thinking, okay, what is it that I want out of this conversation? And then flip that over to saying, okay, God, what is it that you want out of this interaction? What is it, how is it that you want this conversation to be led? And the thing is, you can apply this in every single area of your life, whether it is at work with your peers, whether it is with your family, with your kids, and with your spouses, or maybe with your friends, or with your roommates, whatever it is. When you just take that time to just take a step back to look at your language and to reflect on what it's saying about the condition of your heart, it changes everything. And it changes how not just your relationship with God is, it's because it'll get closer and more intimate, but it'll change how you interact with every single person. And your conversation turns from being simply a conversation to something that can be life-giving and something that can be filled with that living wisdom. And that is an amazing thing. And again, I just encourage each and every one of you to take these next steps. It's because, trust me, it will change everything. Let's just close in prayer. Jesus, we thank you so much that you were just walking alongside us, that you never give up on us, but that you were always there to guide our conversations. Jesus, we just pray that as we leave here today, as we're interacting with people, that we would just take the time to slow down and to reflect on the words that we say. And also, as we're interacting with people, that we would allow you to lead our conversations so that they are life-giving and so that they are filled with living wisdom.
Hey, everybody, just for one last quick second, I'm Grant, and my title here is Formation Pastor, and as part of that, one of the things I love the most is to work with our team here to find more and more ways for people to take part in that process of formation over time, or as we talk about it in church, we talk about being transformed to know Jesus, to become like Jesus. Well, that's why I'm so excited tonight to talk more about our new subscription to Right Now Media. It is part of what we are offering to all of you for free, and anybody that you want to invite into it for free. It's part of digging deeper into what Isaac was just talking about, the living wisdom of God, to know what it means to live as followers of Christ, to let that affect our families, all of our relationships, to be able to have access to it in our homes and in our small groups and here in church. So I want to invite you to watch this video. It's going to describe it a little bit more in detail. It's about 2 minutes long, and then I'll wrap up here at the end, okay? Let's watch together.
Our church is a light in the darkness, a city on a hill. Every believer is called to make a difference in the world, to love God completely, and to make disciples of every nation. But in this busy, mobile, noisy world, it can be difficult to even do the basics, to pray, to read the Word, to bring the love of God to our marriages, families, neighbors, and co-workers. We know you're here because you want to be a part of God's mission on the earth. You want to experience the abundant life that Scripture talks about. You're looking to connect your faith to every part of your life, every day of the week. That's why our church is subscribing to Right Now Media and making it available for free to every member of our church. You'll have access to over 10,000 online Bible study videos on parenting, marriage, finance, discipleship, leadership, and many more. The videos can be used in Bible study groups or for personal devotion. There's also a huge library of safe biblical kids videos. We'd love to see every member of our church utilizing Right Now Media. Small group leaders leading their adult or youth groups through engaging Bible study series. Children enjoying safe programming that doesn't just entertain, but helps lay a strong spiritual foundation. Families spending quality time together, going through devotional Bible studies. Couples using biblical studies on marriage, parenting, and finance. Applying God's Word to every area of their lives. There is something for everyone. We want to help you grow as a disciple of Christ, and we want to help you become a disciple maker in your home, your school, your workplace, your neighborhood, in whatever mission field God has called you to. We believe that this free resource will help equip and unleash you to live out your faith in every area of life, to experience God-centered, abundant life, not just on Sundays, but every day. We are for you, and God is for you. He wants to empower you every day to live for Him. Together, we can be a light in the darkness, a city on a hill.
So Pastor Matt Chandler has described right now media as like Netflix for Bible studies, kids Christian programming. They do create their own content as well, kind of like Netflix has Netflix originals. Right Now is always now in the process of making more and more original content. And all of the Right Now original stuff not only has videos, but also free downloadable materials. And any other study on there will also link you to materials that can be purchased, resources for small groups, for your family. But I just encourage you, you're going to be getting an email from us that will give you a link that you click on and you can create your free user account and immediately start using it with access to everything from the kids' shows to conference speakers and everything in between. So start using it and then think about people who you think could be blessed by this, whether they go to Jacob's Well or not, and just send them an email. There's a contacts button. You can send it to anybody. We're also working on creating some custom channels for Jacob's Well. So for example, this fall we're going to be doing a series in 1 Corinthians. We're going to be looking for some online resources that are about 1 Corinthians so that you can also go deeper as you want to in your own home, at your own pace, with the very things we're talking about as a church. We're going to have channels for every area of ministry, from kids all the way up through adults. So we're so excited. You're going to hear more about this in the next couple of months. But for now, get on there, use that email link, and start using Right Now Media. I hope that you are all as blessed to be here and be part of this service as I am tonight. Praise God for being so good, for having wisdom that is truly alive and wants to bring us more to life all the time. God bless you guys. We'll see you next time.